When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The biggest basketball coaching convention of.
You can work on your stroke though, while you look in.
What?
You don't want to be
embarrassed. I know, I'm talking.
What is going on? Robin, are you okay?
Robin Washit.
Are your kids near you, or what just happened?
Husker Online.
I took a lot of preparation to make this thing a flawless interview, and clearly I still can't avoid it.
Robin Washit, Husker Online.
Maybe it was aliens. Maybe it was a phenomenon that we can't explain.
The Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.
Joined now on the 42 Degrees of Source Hotline by Robin Washit of HuskerOnline.com. Robin, good afternoon. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. I thought this would be a better time. It just feels like you're very busy at 11 o'clock most days.
Well, I can just say that about probably any point in my life. It's just one big tornado of chaos at all times. So this works a little better, but it's all good.
Well, okay. So we have like some quiet time right now, some dad time.
Yeah. I have a storm right now. We're good.
Okay, that's good. We'll hopefully get off the phone before the back end of that storm hits.
Never know what's gonna happen.
Hey, we were just talking about this. I don't know if you saw the story from yesterday about the player era, the player driven NIL tournament that they're putting together for this upcoming basketball season. In Vegas, obviously, I mean, you know, far-fetched to think that Nebraska or really, you know, anybody else besides huge brands in college basketball would be involved in this going forward. But, like, do you have a thought on that and just and putting that together and kind of the idea of that type of MTE, I guess, if you will, going forward?
I mean, I think that's going to be the start of things to come, and probably not just basketball, but, like, you know, there's probably going to be some NIL incentives with bowl games to maybe try to increase participation that way. And, you know, so I think that's just kind of the new wave where, you know, with these types of events, if you want to get the best teams and the best players, you better compensate the players. Just given the amount of control they have right now in everything with college sports. So, you know, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that's executed and, you know, the pros and cons that come out of it. But, you know, if it goes well, I would anticipate that becoming a staple and probably similar types of events and, you know, across sports beyond basketball, becoming a lot more common.
Yeah, no doubt. They're talking about $1 million a team just for being in it.
Mm-hmm.
How big of a deal would $1 million be for Nebraska basketball's NIL operation right now?
Be substantial. It'd be probably about a third of what they're currently working with right now. So, yeah, that would certainly help help you compete in that NIL era a little more.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, before we, I got some questions about football. But before we go there, and any updates, meaningful updates as far as Nebraska's search to fill their remaining open scholarships at this point?
Nothing meaningful. Doesn't mean that isn't happening. I just don't know about it. you know, I think that's becoming kind of more and more common, not just with Nebraska, but I think, you know, especially when it comes later in the process, you know, teams like to operate a little bit more covertly, you know, with the money involved and, you know, the kind of hoops you got to jump through to get involved with guys now. I think that the less publicized, in some cases, the better. And so maybe that's kind of what's happening with Nebraska right now, where they're, you know, intentionally trying to keep their, you know, efforts under the radar a little bit more so they don't have any potential snafus. Because a lot of times if it gets reported that so-and-so school is looking at a player, well, then other schools are going to say that and then jump in late and then could potentially ruin school A's chances. So I think a lot of it is just gamesmanship, you know, to get your business done as quietly as possible to avoid any possible setbacks But then, too, I think that just kind of with the landscape, how it shifted, like I said, these are pretty substantial business transactions when it comes to acquiring new players. And so I think loose lips sometimes can get in the way of getting things done. So I think that's kind of going to become more common, where you have these quiet periods that there's not a lot of news to report. But again, I don't know if that's necessarily reflective of the work that's currently being done behind the scenes.
Not to bring it all back to NIL, but I mean, it kind of naturally just works its way back there. Like, we often talk about the football, obviously the football pool of money that is being worked with is a little bit more substantial. Now, also keep in mind, I mean, in basketball, first of all, we've always talked about the idea that you could change your roster over with a guy or two, and that could change your program. It's the same idea here as it pertains to NIL, although there might not be like as much total lump sum of money to work with. There's less players on your roster, and you could change that over in a hurry, like in this game right now. And I don't know where, it feels like Nebraska's a little bit, stepped back from really paying the big bucks or whatever for big time recruits in that regard in the NIL market at this point, which is not a bad thing at all. But it's just interesting how it's all working right now, like you said, behind the scenes.
Yeah, I mean, you can say the big players, but even like marginal players are asking for ridiculous amounts of money. And eventually it will, I hope, self-correct to where, players and their people realize they're not going to get that kind of money and schools decide that they're not going to pay it. But until that happens, you're going to get a guy that, is a borderline starter getting $500,000 just for hitting the portal. I mean, like, that's pretty common at this point. So, it might not seem like a lot compared to football, but it's still substantial, especially when you consider, like you said, that there's just less mouths to feed as opposed to, paying 100 players, you're playing 13 or in some cases even less. So, it's a different game with basketball. I think you have to be a lot more selective, especially if you want to do it right in terms of building a team, which Nebraska's been very concerted with, especially over the last couple off seasons. That's become such a big priority for them that you have to pay, and they're going to be competitive with the guys that they're going after, but they're not going to be in the business of overpaying on players, just to fill roster spots. And some schools are a lot more willing to do that and have a lot more resources to do that. So Nebraska has to be a little bit more selective just because they don't have as much money as some other schools, but also they're being more selective because they're trying to continue this method they've had over the last two off seasons of not just getting good players, but the right fits and the right people to keep this culture that they've built going in the right direction.
Robin Washington of Husker Online is with us. Hey, I saw this came up on your guys's podcast. The idea of Nebraska football and weaknesses and where they might be. I want to ask. I'll ask you a two-layered question, I guess. What would you consider to be a major weakness for a college football team, and does Nebraska have any that you see right now going into the summer?
I mean, like, just in general, a weakness for a college football team?
Like, a major weakness. Like, and obviously you're using Nebraska as a reference point. So, like, would you say that Nebraska has any major weaknesses at the moment?
I wouldn't say weaknesses. I'd say there's some pretty significant questions that still need to be answered. You think quarterback's going to be better, but more often than not, or more likely than not, you're going to be relying on a true freshman to do that. So there's just inherent unknowns with how that's going to go. With the running back room, they have a lot of guys, but a lot of guys with injury history that just really haven't put it all together over the course of a full season. So while they have numbers, who is going to emerge as, the starter or the backup or even the third string guy that, they can really lean on once the season gets rolling? And then wide receiver, you're leaning on a lot of new faces that you're hoping you know, translate to what you're doing here at Nebraska as far as transfers go. And then, you know, those second year receivers like, you know, Jalen Lloyd, Malachi Coleman, those types, taking that next step. So, I mean, there's just some unknowns about will those guys perform at the level that you expect them to? And then the offensive line, you know, this is the most cohesive that unit has been in a long time, just in terms of position coach and, you know, roster retention and experience they have across the board there. So you assume that group is going to take another step forward like they did last year from the year before. But again, that's you're assuming, you know, we just don't know. So that's kind of what I look towards more like in the conversations of weaknesses for Nebraska. Like, I don't know if there's like a glaring, like, wow, they're really terrible at this position, because I think that there's potential pretty much at every spot on the roster. But that's, again, assuming that the players you expect to be good and to take those steps and develop the way that you hope will do so, you know, and to get them to the point where you're comfortable with them.
Yeah. Like you said, you'd rather rely on, you know, known returning production, right? Like, and I think at wide receiver, you get the case with a couple of the transfers there where you're like, okay, you can depend on a certain amount there. So I'd put that position off to the side. I'm good with that. I'm good with offensive line. You know, quarterback is a minor question mark, but obviously not in comparison to last year. Running back's a question mark for me. Defensive line's good. But the rest of the defense, I'm interested. Like, we didn't talk much about it. Didn't get much run. We talked a lot about Raiola and the offense. But I don't know. I think there's some questions in the back end of that defense in particular. I mean, they are interested in a portal safety. I think at the moment, like, I don't know, maybe we didn't give that enough run this spring about what they may or may not have in the defensive backfield.
Well, I think a lot of that too is kind of like the receiver conversation, where they have players, they have options, but so many of them are unproven. Like, you think Jeremiah Charles is going to be a really good player, and you know, Dwight Boodle, and you know, Ethan Nation, and all these young guys that they have in that secondary that, you know, are talented and should be good, but they just haven't done it yet. And so that's where I think the unknown is probably the biggest concern with the back end of that defense. Now, that being said, they do bring back a lot of experience. Tommy Hill, Isaac Gifford, Marquise Buford, you know, they played a lot of football. And so you have a pretty good veteran core to build around. You're just kind of supplementing around them with talented but inexperienced players. And so, you know, again, it's you're hoping that those young guys continue to develop and are able to take the baton at some certain positions. But, you know, if you're looking for reasons to, you know, have some doubt at this point about that defense, it's probably just some of the inexperience that Nebraska is probably going to be relying on taking that necessary step forward over the course of the rest of the offseason.
All right, Robin, we will let you go. Appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. See you later.
That's Robin Washington of HuskerOnline.com. And, I pressed my own button that time.
Okay.
I don't know. I thought I was hanging up on him for some reason, but I was hanging up on myself. We got
lots of baseball.
We got Bally's problems, though.
Oh no! Is
so the we got
47
our channel
working?
47 is dying again.
Oh,
and so now
Proton.
I got it. We got to call that quick cable fix that we got last year was so good.
It was. We got six games on the air.
Well, you know what I want to watch.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, my gosh, Connor, it's not going well for you.
No. Nope, not yet. Don't worry. We got him. Got him right where we want him.
Okay.
Right now.
That's a weird place to want him.
Don't worry. Got him right where we want him.
But also,
keep him under the radar.
Just for the bit, the Detroit Tigers are on the air.
Of course they are. Who are they playing today?
They're at the Guardians. 4-2 in the fourth, Tigers.
Very cool. So we probably won't talk much about baseball when we return, but I do have a couple things for you. I have one item from the local news. We always like to keep up on our local issues.
Well, we're a local show.
Of course. An update on Shedeur Sanders.
Oh, good. I was worried we weren't going to talk about him all week.
What's going on over there? maybe a couple other stray things as we continue on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.
The Connor Happer Show. Follow us on Twitter at Happer Show for all the latest news and views. We may even say something interesting once in a while.
Unlikely.
Really, guys?